Good. Good. So we're going to be wrapping up our series through biblical parenting this week, and this will be our last class, and then next week we'll have a Q&A, hopefully. So if you have questions or comments, remember to try and email them to me and Chris, preferably before next Sunday. That way we have some time to kind of review the questions with the elders to make sure we're all on the same page and how we answer. So yes, please get those to us. We look forward to doing that. Especially if you had questions that we didn't answer, or you didn't have time to ask, or just topics we didn't cover, because we did not exhaustively cover every single thing there is to do with parenting. So do that, please. So this morning, this is going to be kind of a conclusion. Like, we're going to be wrapping up all of this. And so what I'm going to try and facilitate is we're going to kind of do a recap. I'm going to ask y'all to just basically share things that we've talked about throughout this 12, 13-week class. And then I'm going to talk about two possible outcomes that you could land in. Two ditches. You're either going to become an extremely overzealous parent, become legalistic, forget that it's about the heart, or you're going to be the other side, and I'm sure there's other ditches, but you're either going to be already struggling with this or already extremely convicted, be extremely burdened, weighed down, anxious, worried, and fearful. So I hope to be able to encourage you guys who might feel that way this morning. So let's start off with doing a quick recap. Who can tell me some of the essential things that me and Chris talked about throughout this 12-week class? Who remembers some of the topics, some of the important themes?
Not exasperating children.
Okay, so we don't want to exasperate our kids. Yes. What else?
I know we talked about how more when they're younger, the rod should be used, and it should be more I guess just talking with them when they're older. Not as the rod should be as part of the daily thing as when a certain age, I guess.
Yeah, so the idea is at a younger age, like you're saying, brother, we want to use the rod to drive folly away from the heart. We're wanting to teach our kids to be obedient. And then as they get older, we're going to now take them by the hand, disciple them, and try to form godly character in them, is the idea. And we never really agreed on an age and when that shift happens, but it's more based on the maturity of your child. So it's up to your discernment in that situation. I know Chris did an excellent job in the first couple of weeks just talking about how God's purpose for the family. He gave us the family to be a picture of himself in the Trinity. Because you see, in the Trinity, you see God's relationship, Father and Son. We also see in the family, it's like a window into the church. Because in the church, you have, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're known as adopted children of God. We talked about those things. We talked about how the family is a very important ministry that often gets overlooked. You know, godly men. Men who are zealous to serve the Lord will, they'll either go, oh, I need real ministry is overseas, or real ministry is only at the West End or the abortion clinic or wherever. But real, you know, and then they'll neglect their families, not realizing that that's the most important ministry that God's given to you. Remember, so if you're praying, God, what is your will for my life? I remember praying that it will... You have four kids. Corey, there's my will for you. Raise those children to the best of your ability to know me, to know my ways. Love your wife. Lead your family. Anything else?
Not to be hypocritical?
Yes. So we don't want to be hypocrites in our parenting. We don't want to place burdens on our kids that we're not going to move ourselves. If we're telling our kids to do things as it pertains to the Lord, we want to make sure we're practicing what we preach in front of our kids. They'll sniff out hypocrisy faster than anything else. I was extremely blessed yesterday to have a conversation with a young man in Whitney's family. We were at her. We're in Kalispell, Texas. We were doing a Thanksgiving dinner, and this young man grew up in the church. He grew up in a Pentecostal church, extremely charismatic, and we started talking about the gospel, and he was just sharing with me his experience growing up in church. It was a lot of hypocrisy. There was a lot of focus on external behaviors, like you're going to go to hell not because you were a sinner, that you had a wicked heart. You were going to go to hell because you drank alcohol and you smoked cigarettes. And so what happened is he grew up, he resented the church, and he had a sister, and they basically just left home, just left whatever faith they were raised with, just they resented it. And just talking to him, I could get that he had a bad understanding of what Christianity was. He wasn't in a biblical church. He didn't know the gospel. He barely understood repentance. He was just told that unless you listen to the pastor and obey the pastor, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, then you're a Christian. And so as he got older, he just saw the hypocrisy in a lot of the church members' lives, that they lived one way on Sunday, and then what's the saying? Monday through Saturday, they lived like hell. And so it's really important. Thanks for bringing that up, sister. We do not want to be hypocrites. And there's grace in that. You know, we don't have to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. We just want to strive to be holy, to be consistent with what we're teaching our kids. We talked about the goal is to raise Christian children. We're trying to raise worshipers of Jesus Christ. We're trying to raise children who love Jesus. And there's two ways that we do that. We encourage this by making God's Word the constant topic of our conversations. Remember Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 6. Basically, the idea is wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, when you lay down, when you rise up, you're talking about God. You're talking about the gospel. You're talking about Jesus. You're using examples, or just like Jesus did in life. Just you're taking things and you're using them to implement to impart spiritual wisdom to them. You know, Jesus talking about, you know, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seeds, the mustard tree. So things like that is a great example. You know, you can be driving by and seeing a house being built, and you can talk about how the builder of the world is God. So we talked about things like that. Then we also talked about formal training, and that's family worship. That's where we're coming together. We're reading God's Word. We're praying together, and we're singing together. What are some other things that we talked about? Probably one of the most important thing.
Not changing just the behavior of our children, but meeting with the heart of the problem.
Amen, brother. So we want to try to reach our kids' hearts. We don't want to just be content with addressing outward external behavior. We want to look at what that outward behavior is telling us, and we want to try and show our kids that this outward behavior is just a manifestation of the sin that's in your heart, the idolatry that's in your heart. And then we moved on from there, and we talked about we all agree and realize that we're not going to be able to reach our kids' hearts every time we talk to them. Some of us, it's going to be more difficult than other parents. And so we talked about how if we're not able to reach the heart, we'll need to supplement that, and even sometimes temporarily forego heart training to require obedience, like Chris said, without challenge, without delay, and without grumbling. I mean, sometimes that can, you know, depending again on the age and the maturity of the child, that might be where you're grounding them, you're taking things away, or it's most of the time it's going to be by using the rod. I know some of the saints in here, y'all shared that, you know, for your older, you know, teenage kids, we don't really know how effective it's going to be to spank them, but it seems to speak more to kind of take away some of their privileges, some of their freedoms. That seems to speak to them more, to get them to realize the foolishness of what they're doing. We talked about the different roles between boys and girls. Really important that boys, girls, father and mothers, that these roles aren't interchangeable. They're complementary in the way that we both help each other and serve the Lord, but they're not interchangeable. God has created men to be men. He's created women to be women. And we talked about some of the different ways in our homes that we can train our men to be leaders of the home, providing, protecting. And we talked about, I believe when I was teaching, I try to focus on just the character of Christ, that we want to be trying to cultivate that kind of leadership in our kids. We don't want to be like Gentile leaders where we, you know, where we lord it over our families is what we want to train our boys. We want to train them to be servant leaders, humble, loving, caring. And we looked at the example of Jesus Christ in that. Chris talked about girls and mothers and how we should be training our daughters to build their households by helping and nurturing. And then last week, we talked about an extremely powerful influence in all of our lives, and that is technology. And what we did is we briefly went through it. Again, we can't exhaustively cover all of these topics, but we went through it and we discussed how we're able to discern whether technology, which I believe is a gift from God. Like I said, you know, I believe in God's sovereignty and His providence. I believe God gave us the iPhone, the iPad, the internet, to be used. It's a stewardship, and it's to be used for His glory. But we talked about how do we discern whether we're using these things or these things are using us? How do we discern whether they're a blessing or a curse in our life? And again, all of these teachings are on sermon audio. So if you want to go back, listen to them, I encourage you to do that. I also, again, encourage you to write down questions. If there's anything me and Chris said that you're like, I don't know if that's true, I don't agree with that, next week will be the time in the Q&A. If you do have something like that, I would just ask that you would be gracious and respectful in how you, you know, you word your questions. So that's a quick recap. Does anyone have anything they want to add? Anything that stood out? Anything that helped them? Yeah, that's good. So y'all hear that? Communication is being on the same page as spouses. And the only way we can know what page we're on is if we're obviously talking to one another regularly, probably every day. We're communicating about where we're at. What's our goal here? We want to make sure we're headed in the same direction as parents. And the only way we, again, can figure that out is if we're talking to one another and communicating with our kids. You know, we need to be having conversation with our kids, seeing where they're at, trying to understand them. So, I hope that me and Chris helped I really do. It's my prayer that we helped out, that we didn't waste 12 weeks of your time. I hope that we gave you practical things that you could begin going home and applying to your life, and that you've seen the fruit of it, that it'll bear fruit. So before we continue on the two possible outcomes, I want to talk about, I want to give an exhortation that we should be doers of the word. So although me and Chris, we shared a lot of truth, a lot of biblical truth, which I believe are commandments from God. They're not suggestions by God, like where he says, you know, use the rod of correction. I don't think God is suggesting that. I would see that as a commandment of the Lord. He's commanding us as parents to do these things. They're good things. They're wise things to do. In Ephesians 6, chapter 4, where he says, fathers, raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Like, Paul's not suggesting that to us. He's commanding that. So, an exhortation is, as in James chapter 1, when you have time, you can go read verse 22 through 25. Be a doer of the word, because if you're merely just listening to these things, taking in information, and you're not applying them to your life, you know what's going to happen according to James 1? You're going to forget everything in this room. The best way to remember is by applying the truth to your life, because it becomes ingrained in your mind. It becomes real. It's not just the abstract. It's not just theoretical, conceptual. It's a part of your life now. So I encourage you to apply these things. And when I say commandment, me and Chris, we suggested a lot of things that are more preference. Maybe you have liberty in those things. It's going to look different in all of our homes. So I'm not saying that everything me and Chris said up here was a commandment of God. Whenever we would share scripture, when we would read the verse, that's God's commandment. So I just want to clarify that first. So, two possible outcomes. What do you guys think? I talked about we have two possible outcomes here. We have the overzealous parent is one ditch, and then we'll have the other ditch where we have the parent that's they become extremely anxious, burdened, worried, full of fear. That first outcome, how do you think something like this could produce a parent that becomes too overzealous, and they fall into the snare of legalism, and they have no concern for the heart? How do y'all think that could happen?
By not being flexible to what the word says in the situation, applying the same thing regardless of the situation, just not focusing on, you know, on your children, or applying the same thing the same way to each child, regardless of what their personality is like, or what their particular, you know, issue is, or whatever.
Yeah. So is anybody else, sister?
I know that when you focus on pleasing men, you know, a lot of times people tend to just correct their kids because they don't want to be seen like, you know, they don't teach their kids things, and, you know, and sometimes that can start to, like, we have to listen because, you know, it affects how people view us instead of focusing on Christ and understanding that. Okay, we could even use that as an example to witness to people, show that it takes Christ to see my children, not any efforts on ourselves. So,
yeah.
That's one thing I've seen.
That's good. Whitney? Good. Anyone else? Brother?
And I guess, like, I know on a certain level I've seen this in my own life, but we forget that, you know, the grace of God is what actually saved us, and we, you know, just start focusing on why our kids aren't doing it and how it should be so easy for them to grasp, but understanding that it takes the spirit to actually change their hearts and to get them on the right path. So we start focusing on the things that we're doing instead of focusing on, you know, actually spirit changing their heart.
That's good. That's really good, brother. Yeah, so if you look at Jesus when he would interact with the Pharisees, you know, when it came to legalism and religious hypocrisy, he dealt with the Pharisees a lot. And if we think about the Pharisees, what was the Pharisee? We saw examples where the Pharisee is at the temple and he says, "Oh my God, I thank you that you haven't made me like this sinner." So the first thing is, how do we fall into being legalist parents? You know, Pharisaical is that we try to do all this and bypass the foundation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we go, okay, biblical parenting, gospel on the shelf, got that, now I'm going to go do. And we forget that we're sinners saved by grace. We're still under grace. We're still being sanctified. We're still being made into the image of Christ. And so when we try to bypass Jesus, as you were sharing, when we try to bypass the work of the Holy Spirit, we try to be the Holy Spirit, we become monsters. We become legalists. We become self-righteous. We look at our kids like, why don't you get these things? I don't understand why you're not doing it like me. This is easy. How are you not getting this? And we're forgetting that we were once blind and Christ opened our eyes to show us the truth. So there's one thing. And it shows that we don't really have a love, a genuine Christ-like love for our children in that time, because we're not concerned about what's important, and that's their heart. Let's go to Matthew 23. We read this, but can somebody just read Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 23, and we'll just read to verse 28. I believe that's the right chapter. Yeah. Verse 23. And then just 23 through 28. Whoever has it can go ahead and start reading.
"Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint, then dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness."
Thank you. So I feel like maybe you're going, "Corey, you always talk about this. You always go back to this. You're bringing this up a lot." And I think Chris does too, if you were to talk to Chris. Is that this is the most important thing. We do not... Jesus taught us in the Gospels that you can know a tree by its fruit. I mean, these are really basic black and white kind of truths. A good tree produces good fruit. It doesn't produce bad fruit. If it produced bad fruit, it would be a bad tree. So we don't ever want to just... Again, there's going to be situations where we focus on outward behavior. We're trying to get conformity, obedience. But for the most part, the reason I keep hammering this home, because this is what's going to be effective in your parenting. This is what's going to truly help your children, is that when you see these outward manifestations of sin, you realize that it's a sinful heart. Their hearts are sick. It's the same thing for you before you were converted. You had to be made alive. You needed a new heart. So don't forget that in your parenting. Don't forget it. you'll be, like I said, extremely more effective in your parenting if you try to address the heart instead of trying to take, you know, apples and put them on a peach tree. We don't want to do that. We saw what Jesus thought about people who do that. He pronounces woes upon them. Because the Pharisees are never dealing with the real issue, is that they're dead inside. They're content with just looking the part. Why? You brought up fear of man. They want to impress men. So I think that's good. I mean, I didn't put that in my notes, but that's one temptation, is that we all come to church. Maybe we're not doing what we should be doing, you know, Monday through Saturday, but we're around the brothers and sisters, and what do we want to do? I want to look like I have it all together, so I'm, you know, be quiet, sit down. And our kids are like, what is all this? What is it to sit down, be quiet? What does that mean? I've never even heard that word before in my life. But now you're asked, why is Dad acting weird? They see that. They go, oh, Dad's trying to impress his friends. Okay. So let's shift now to the second ditch. When I was thinking about this, like, looking at the material that they had in the teaching, they did a really good job of bringing this up. And as I was praying for all of us, I was like, what can I try and facilitate a conversation about? Is that I hope most of us won't fall into that first ditch. I think for a lot of us, the ditch that we're going to fall into is the second one, which is anxiety, burden, worry, fear, that we're going to hear these things. And being Christians, I believe most of us genuine, authentic Christians, we're going to see that we fall short in our parenting, and then what's going to happen? We're going to hang our heads low, we're going to have drooping knees, and we're just going to be, oh, I'm so ungod, I can't do this, this is too much, you know, I can't do this, this is a lot. And then you fall into the other ditch, which I don't want you to fall into. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be built up. I want you to mature. And so as I was thinking through this, I'm like, what are some ways that would encourage me? And how can you be encouraged if you're feeling that way? What do y'all think what are some fundamental things when you receive a commandment and you see that, man, this is difficult. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require things that I don't possess currently. Go ahead, sister.
I was saying prayer.
Prayer. So yeah, prayer is obviously, you know, we need to be praying about these things. Prayer is something we can do. I'm asking, what are some fundamental truths, doctrines that should encourage us through these things?
Dependency on the Lord, puts us in that position so that we can't do it in our own strength.
Amen. That's good, brother. So yeah, I wrote that, sufficient grace. So God's not going to command His children to do anything that He Himself is not going to supply the grace to do. So He's not going to say, go and parent this way without Himself making the grace available to you to be obedient. So sufficient grace. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9, and somebody read verse 8.
God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Amen. So, that's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. Parenting is a good work that was created beforehand for us to walk in. And so God is telling us that He's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, not just sometimes, but all times, we may abound in every good work. We'll abound in it. And if you go over to chapter 12, stay in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 12, someone read verse 9.
He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen. So that's what you said, brother. So, what do we see that? That His grace is sufficient for us. That His power, God's power, is made perfect in our weakness in parenting. So He's not commanding, He's not saying, you go be strong in and of yourselves, be strong parents. He's actually saying, realize that you're weak. I want you to see these things that I'm commanding you to do in parenting, and I'm wanting you to understand that apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't be focused on your child's heart apart from Jesus Christ. That's too difficult. We're too tired. We get, you know, beat down from a long day. We just want to correct the behavior and go back to what we're doing. We need grace. We need to be filling our minds, saturating ourselves with the gospel. We need to realize, we need to be honest with ourselves that we're weak. There's no such thing as strong Christians. One evangelist, Tony Miano, says there's no proud Christians in heaven. It's a bunch of sinners saved by grace, and they know they're sinners saved by grace. That's why they're rejoicing, because this gift is incredible. Another thing is that God is, if you look at, I believe, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I believe it's where it's saying that, let me just go there, because I can't remember exactly what it's saying. I have an idea of what it's saying, but I don't want to butcher the passage. If somebody has it, they can read it. If you've turned there faster than me. So, I got it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So, God is at work in us through parenting. For what purpose? Well, one of the purposes is sanctification. So when you're parenting and you see that you fall short, you see that you're a sinner, you see that you're impatient, you see that you don't love like Jesus, you see those things, guess what? Don't droop, don't wallow around. Praise God for the gospel that your failures in parenting were nailed to the cross. Look to Jesus, repent, believe in the gospel, and realize that God is working in you through your parenting to reveal sin, to conform you into the image of His Son. So it's another avenue, it's another means of grace that God's given to us. It's just like marriage. I know my wife does not, I hope not, that she does not expect me to be the perfect husband that you see in the movies, where it's just all butterflies and flowers, that I don't ever make mistakes, that I'm not ever selfish or lazy, that I don't ever not love her the way I should. I think we both understand, according to Scripture, that marriage is a blessing, but it's also a means of grace where God is showing us our sin to each other. That when I think, oh, you know, I'm a pretty stand-up guy. I love people. And then when I, you know, go home and my wife asks me to do something and I don't do it, I get upset. I realize, oh, well, I'm not really as loving as I thought I was. So what do I do? Do I go and do I pout and I mope? No, I repent. I believe the gospel. I rejoice in what Christ has done. And I ask God, I acknowledge I'm weak, and I ask God for help. I ask Him for help. So I want to encourage you that you're being sanctified. You're being made into the image of Christ through this. And Lord willing, I pray our children are being sanctified too when they have to deal with us and our failures, when they see our hypocrisy, when they see we struggle. I pray that they're being conformed into the image of Christ. How much time do we have? We've got a few minutes. Okay. So, another point I had put down was rest and peace, that God's called us to peace. You know, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. So when you see that I'll quickly go over this one, and I've included scriptures, I hope, on the handout that you can go meditate on and you can read, is that when you see that you're struggling, you're falling short in your parenting, and you're anxious, you're worried, you're beat down, it's like what I just said, run to Christ. Run to Christ, find rest. Have your minds renewed, your hearts renewed, in the gospel, find rest, find peace for your weary souls in Christ. So do it as a family. Husband, wives, do it together. You know? The last thing, which is the most important thing, is I think all of us in here want our children to know God. We want them to be saved. That's why we're in a parenting class, with the hope that we can learn, we can be edified, we can be equipped by God's Word to go and to minister in our kids' lives and try to give them the best chance as far as it depends on us, basically to give them truth to be saved. But we also, we're doctrines of grace. We're Calvinists. We realize that salvation is a work of the Lord. Why would that be encouraging? Why would God's sovereignty be encouraging? If it's up to God to save men, why would that encourage us in our parenting? Amen, brother. Amen. So, God is not asking you to save your kids. He has not put it in your hands. He's not asking you to be the Holy Spirit. He is not asking you to raise dead men, dead children to life. Only the Lord can do that. So how would that encourage us is when we do fall short? I know for me, I have bouts where I'm like, man, I have ruined my kids, my hypocrisy, my inconsistency. I have ruined their chance at knowing the Lord. Now, there's truth where we can put stumbling blocks, like I shared the young man I talked to. We can put stumbling blocks in their lives. We don't want to be hypocrites. But for the most part, if we're striving to serve God and to minister to our kids the gospel, we'll do well. And that it's not up to us whether they're saved. See, God is not going to look at us and He's not going to go, good job, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, your child was converted. No, what he's asking of you is to put your faith and trust in Him, even though you don't see the fruit, you don't see the results, is that you trust in the Lord, that salvation is of the Lord, you obey the Lord, you raise your children as the Lord has instructed you to raise them, And you do it regardless of the fruit. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience, of service, of love to God. So, back to God's sovereignty being an encouragement is that exactly what you brothers are saying. It's not up to us. It's not up to us. So that encourages me when I fall short because I know that I in and of myself, am not going to be the reason why Luke would reject Christ. It would be because the Lord hasn't regenerated his heart. And so that gives me hope. That encourages me to pray, like you brought up. That gives me power to pray. Right? That gives me the desire to pray that I'm going to go to the Lord and pray for my children because God saves, not me. And so I'm going to plead with God every night. Save my children. I'm going to confess my sins to Him. Lord, I'm not a perfect parent. I know I fall short, but Lord, salvation is of You, and I plead with You to save them. And it helps with maybe some of us, our kids are older, they're going to move out, and maybe they didn't make a profession of faith while they were in the home. You still have the hope that before God, you know, stops their life, that salvation is always there. There's hope. There's always hope for them to be converted. There's always hope. Never stop praying for them. Never stop sharing truth with them. I want to take the... Y'all have any questions, thoughts, comments on that?
This funny. I was just thinking about that same thing on the way here and while you were talking. Just... because I have a daughter who's out of the home now, so I was, you know, the fruit isn't there, and she hasn't professed, you know, she comes to us and she asks us things about it, but, you know, still, it gives me the hope that, you know, it's, God, that God still would change her heart before she even deserved also. And I was just thinking today that I need to call on her just to make sure I'm still not just saying that she's grown and she's off her own, but still talk to her and just I want to really see if she really understands the gospel and what it means to be saved and how do you actually say that you are saved or understand what causes you to be saved. But yeah, if that was on my mind.
Well, good, brother. Yeah, I think a good thing for all of us, if you're not already doing it, is, you know, when you go home tonight, I do this periodically. I don't do it perfectly nearly as much as I should. As I ask my children, what's the gospel? When I hear their answers, that gives me a good understanding of what they believe the gospel is. So I think it'd be good for us, no matter, you know, if I ask Carter, she's not going to be able to tell me, articulate her thoughts. But, you know, I think it'd be wise for us to go home and just ask our children, you know, tell me what the gospel is. Tell me what you, and when you hear things that, you know, it doesn't sound like Paul Washer, well, this is the gospel. But you hear, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You amen. You encourage that. That's good. You build them up. You encourage them. That's true. That's the gospel. Jesus died for sinners. He died for sinners. So we want to be encouraging. I would like to conclude us. So as we wrap up our course, one of the biggest exhortations I would give to myself and to all of us is that we enjoy our kids, that we enjoy our children. Parenting is difficult. It requires great sacrifice. But remember, God's word declares that they're a blessing, that they're a gift from God. It may not feel that way all the time, but it's your word against God's word. Okay? He says they're a blessing, they're a gift. So search your hearts and go, Lord, why don't I see them as a blessing and a gift? Why do they feel like they're a curse, Lord? So go to the Lord with that. Remember that this is only a season of life. We're not going to be parents. We're not going to have our children with us our entire lives. It's only a season. I mean, I think of the sister, her son, Jalen, that has, you know, a tumor, something frightening like that. Like we ourselves aren't promised tomorrow. And our kids aren't promised tomorrow. So we need to enjoy, we need to rejoice in being parents. We need to praise God for our children. We need to, the greatest way we can teach them God's love is by showing them, by demonstration. You know, sometimes it's not enough to just tell them about God's love, preach at them God's love, but to demonstrate it to them. Do you know, does your child know that you love them? Do you tell them, I love you? Do you tell them that you love them? Show them genuine, heartfelt affection every day as much as you can. And that's going to require acknowledging that you're weak and that His grace is sufficient for you. One pastor was preaching and he said before he goes in the door, he stops in that parking lot, men, when he gets off from work, and he prays, realizing that he's tired, that work was difficult, and he prays, and he says, Lord, I can't do it. I can't go and give me grace to go in and love my wife, to minister to my children, to play with my kids, to love my kids. And so when he walks in the door, he says, he tells his wife, honey, go do whatever you want to do. The kids are mine. First he goes to his wife and he loves his wife and he spends time with her. But then he says, hey, rest. The kids are mine. They're all mine. And we can only do that with God's help. We can't do that ourselves. That's not something that comes natural to us. Another exhortation is that don't be surprised, parents, when your kids sin. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when some of the sin is just, it catches you off. It's grotesque. You know, it's whatever it is. Don't be surprised. Remember that we're sinners saved by grace. Remember that before you were a child of God, you were sons and daughters of Adam, slaves to sin. So don't be surprised. Don't encourage it. Don't accept it. But don't freak out. Don't freak out on your kids. Remember, if you freak out on them, they're going to shut down, and for the most part, they will not come to you again because of fear of rejection, of disappointment. Does God treat us that way? That's what we need to ask. Does our Father treat us that way when we fall short? He doesn't. He doesn't. He rebukes us. He reproves us. He tells us not to keep going that way. He warns us of the dangers of straying away. But He also, He embraces us. He loves us if we're repentant, if we're genuinely repentant, if we're humble, if we're confessing our sins to Him. He cleanses us of our sin, of our unrighteousness. Think of all the times, you know, that, again, that God doesn't point out our sin. So don't, what am I trying to say is that, you know, don't constantly reprove your child to where they're just beat down all the time. All you do is correct. You don't comb your hair right. You don't brush your teeth right. You don't sit at the table right. You don't talk right. You don't read right. That's all your ministry is to your kid, is just tell them they don't do anything right. Encourage them. Build them up. Remember, God doesn't do that with us. Imagine the amount of sin in your life this morning that God hasn't even revealed to you yet. You ask why? Because you would be crushed by it. You wouldn't even walk into the sanctuary if you saw how grotesque, how offensive your sin really was to a holy God. Instead, because He's a loving Father, He gently reveals it patiently to you over time, and He sanctifies you. He cleanses you from it, because His goal is not to crush you, to pound you to dust. His goal is that you would be conformed into the image of His Son. So, you know, when we act that way, what we're really saying is that there was something redeemable, something savable in me. I don't understand why my kid's acting this way. He needs to get it together. And that's not the gospel. And they will pick up on that. That's going to be the gospel you teach to them. That there's some, we have to present ourselves to God. There has to be something in us that can be redeemed. We don't want to do that. And how do we do that? We're not too proud to confess when we do parent that way. We confess. We confess our sin. We tell our child, hey, just this morning, you know, we got angry with my son. Hey, son, I was angry. Do you forgive me? I shouldn't have talked to you that way. Yes. Move on. That has a lot of power in it. That we're not too proud to confess to our sins that we sin. I mean, confess to our children that we sin. And in those moments, those are the best opportunities to share gospel truths. And we are able to testify to God's grace and power and how He's changed us. Our kids will be watching. Man, Dad gets short sometimes. He gets angry, but I've seen God work in his life. I've seen Him. He's becoming more patient. He's becoming more loving. Lastly, I would say that this is the most important. This speaks much to me. I struggle with this at times. Is that we need to try not to live above our children. We need to have our children enter into our worlds, and we need to enter into their world. So, dads, play with your kids, you know, play with them, you know, figure out what they like doing. Yeah, I love sports. I'm a sports guy. One of my sons, he loves sports. It's easy to play with him. One of my other sons, he's not really interested in sports. He likes to draw. He likes his imagination. So it's harder for me to relate with him. But it takes grace, it takes God's help to do that. One of the biggest things that encouraged me in this is remembering that God Himself, the Word, became flesh and He dwelt among us. He did what we did, He ate with us, He drank with us. Yeah, He slept with us. I mean, so think about that. Use that as an encouragement to dwell among your children, to be in their lives. And so I wrap it up with that. Again, I pray that you guys were helped, encouraged, that you've been equipped. You can go home and raise your children to know the Lord, just to be more effective in your home. That you have joy. That you have joy in doing this. Remember, again, enjoy your kids. Y'all, we have 7 minutes to pray. Anyone have a question? It'll take like a minute just to ask a question or a thought on it. If not, we'll just jump right into prayer.
Just to add to what the last question you said, realize as a parent that we shouldn't be glorified. That Christ is who should be glorified when it comes to our children and their hearts being changed. And it was just, I thank the Holy Spirit that He, you know, had me just say that at the end, that Christ became flesh. You know, I feel like a light bulb just went off in my head. So
praise God. Amen, sister.